Welcome to a Nomad New Year's Eve. I am in Arizona, literally about 4 miles from the Mexican border at one of the southernmost points, and it is a place called Organ Pipe National Monument. It's a thing called Twin Peaks Campground in the monument. A really great place. Been here for about, this is my fifth day here. And I'm heading back into civilization, going to Scottsdale tomorrow. And I'm going to pass through a little mining town called Ajo, Arizona, which has apparently been there for about 100 years. And that's called Ajo, A-J-O. And so it's New Year's Eve. Everybody's doing years in review. Everybody's doing predictions for 2021. Everyone's talking about, oh, we're so happy that 2020's over. And obviously, major changes for the Bob Davis podcasts, for me personally, and a lot of other stuff in this year, so we're going to talk about that in podcast 974, the Bob Davis podcasts. First of all, obviously, the people who have contributed to the Bob Davis podcasts over the year, big thank you. And I'm probably, when I get someplace where I can spread out a little bit, I'll get everything out and pull the list and give you guys all a mention and a shout out, because I do appreciate that. I appreciate the donations to the Bob Davis podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com, and I appreciate the likes and shares on social media, including LinkedIn. I'm not really using Twitter right now, but Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram as well, the Bob Davis podcast, or at the Bob Davis podcast, or whatever. So thanks to you guys. And I want to thank also the sponsors. I've had some great sponsors this year. I'm not going to go into that in this podcast. I'll do that. I'm probably just going to do a big thank you podcast and mention everybody, and I should do that. But one of my sponsors is Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law. He is a real estate attorney and a great real estate attorney. A lot of times people, and you know, real estate's very hot right now for many, many reasons, but there's a lot of buyers and few sellers. So what happens is that puts pressure on buyers, whether it's commercial real estate or, you know, regular old domestic real estate, you know, investment properties, whatever it is, when you're getting ready to sign on the dotted line, you have this pressure because you don't know who's, you know, already put an effort, an offer in on a property. And I hear a lot that, you know, hey, we wanted to buy this house and I couldn't get it because somebody came in and paid $10,000 more, whatever. And the first question that I always ask is, do you have a good real estate attorney? Because most of the time people buy houses, they sign things without knowing completely what is, you know, what they're signing. And they don't have an attorney to solve problems before they happen. And this is why we have, because real estate's complicated and you know that, and they just don't want to have an attorney. Now, Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law can fix a problem after the fact. But if you hire Tim LaCroix before you buy property, he can help you down the way, especially with commercial real estate, but first house, lake home, rental property, downsizing. You found the house, you head to the close, and you forgot one important step, and that is, do you have an attorney at the close? Do you know what you're signing? And the answer is, if you don't have an attorney, you don't know what you're signing, and that's where Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law comes in. Tim has a ton of experience and knowledge. He is a great guy. And especially for first-time home buyers and for first-time commercial real estate buyers, for first-time investment property buyers, this guy is really good. I've gone through the whole thing about how complex real estate is. Here's the deal, and I'm just going to say it. Get Tim LaCroix, LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys, residential, commercial, contractor construction, residential rentals, mortgage and community associations, which can be a huge bugaboo. Call Tim LaCroix at 763-226-0758. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. It takes you to his LinkedIn page, and you can communicate with him and let him know what your problem is from there. He's always ready to help, and he's a great guy. I've been a friend for a long time. And again, LaCroix Law, Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys. Yeah, this is a very peaceful campground. And at various times during the 5 days that I've been here, it's been kind of crowded and not crowded at all. And it's great. Just to tell you a little bit about it, you know, it's a national monument campground. And so the national monument campgrounds are really nice. Generally, they don't have services So the one I was at in Del Rio, Texas, that didn't even have showers, had, you know, vault toilets and the trash can type of thing. And then the place I was at in Arizona just before this one, I don't even remember when that was. It was like 2 weeks ago now. Maybe it was last weekend. I don't really know. But it was right over the border from New Mexico, right in eastern Arizona, in a just deserted area, right near Portal, Arizona. And on the other side of it is, I forgot the name of the town in New Mexico. I could look at the map. I got the map right here. I could check it out, but I really don't feel like interrupting the podcast for that. But if I do need to look at the map to remember where I was or something, I'll check it out. Let me turn this light on. So it's not night. It's just sundown here. And oddly enough, I think that the campground will probably sort of wind down as soon as it gets dark, because it's been warm, but then at night it starts to get a little chilly. And I don't know if I'm going to have a fire. We aren't allowed to have ground fires. The place I was at in Portal, you could have a ground fire, but there was no services. There were no showers. Just, again, vault toilets and the animal-proof trash cans. They also had food containers by the campsites. That was probably the second or third. Actually, it was probably the best campsite that I stayed at. I love the Del Rio one because it had this view of the Amistad water reclamation project, whatever it's called, a dam, and the water was sky blue. It was just a beautiful place. And I will say, you know, at first when I started this, I saw all these nomad people going to state parks and every place else. So look at this beautiful place we're in. And I thought, well, they're just going there to get pictures. The thing is, after you do this for a while, you come to appreciate you stay in enough Walmart and truck stop parking lots that you really appreciate getting out away from everything and getting into just a nice place where you can just kind of chill out. And you get a cooler full of food and some ice and your dry food and plenty of coffee, and you just chill out. And again, continuing this odyssey alone. So almost all my communications are via cell phone, obviously via device in some way, texting or whatever. And I've had some great conversations with people about their RVs, or about the campsite, things of that nature, or got a jump from a guy at the Del Rio place because the battery ran down. Long story, but anyway, I realize now why so many people are doing the nomad thing, do try to find campgrounds. Well, the thing about the national campgrounds is they're under all of these COVID restrictions, and so this one shut down the showers. And, you know, the last shower I had was at a pilot truck stop somewhere a while back. So today I thought, well, I'm gonna have a shower. And I took a gallon jug, filled it with water, and boiled about half the water, poured the boiled water back into about a quarter container full of water, and, you know, it was now boiling water in this container, carried it to the showers, which are turned off, and gave myself a really pleasant shower. The water was actually at first actually still scalding, so it was great. It was a great hot shower with a gallon jug of water, and used the camp stove to heat it up. So the necessity is the mother of invention. Took me a while to think about that. First, I do have one of those bladders and with a shower on it, but it's not hot enough. The sun won't, you could put that on top of the roof during the summer and it would be almost boiling at the end of the day and you'd have a hot shower, but can't do that when it's just not warm enough, and the sun actually is not warm enough, even though the sun is warm. So I was able to practice yoga the whole time that I've been here, which is great. That was one of the problems that I was struggling with, and I feel great. Did 108 sun salutes on New Year's Eve today in the sun, and it was wonderful. And I don't need to do a whole long and involved travel log for you on this front. I just wanted to sort of set the stage for this podcast so people know what I'm talking about. Usually these kinds of podcasts I will write out, and I haven't been doing that lately. I've just been going, And I think that's interesting. I think that that speaks to the pure passion and pleasure of doing this nomad trip and just going where I want to go and doing what I want to do and doing it when I want to do it. If there's a change of plans, fine. I was going to visit my friend in Scottsdale, and he was like, you can't come till Friday. So I came down here and found this campsite almost by accident, because I actually was at the Bureau of Land Management site just outside of Tucson, and it was warm, but it was not a good place. And so after the third night or the second night of the crazy person screaming in his tent, I decided to I'll tell you what started it was bad AT&T reception and being unable to upload. And I got mad, and the upload problem was solved. I went up to an Indian reservation, which is near there, and I'll put all the links and stuff in the blog. And I had to go to an Indian reservation to find people who had their you-know-what together. They have a Wi-Fi parking lot at the Shell in the middle of this reservation, and I was able to park, get Wi-Fi, and upload. And I went in, and I said, bro, you know, you saved the day with the Wi-Fi, because it was amazing. And then I kept going, and I left really angry. So at this point, I'm just driving, and I saw the sign for Organ Pipe, and I happened to be aware of Organ Pipe and came in here. This used to be the most dangerous, according to rumor. The locals, in other words, Arizonans, say that this is used to be one of the most dangerous national parks in the system. I talked to one of the ambassadors who said, no, it was bad, but it wasn't it was not dangerous in that sense. What had happened was the park ranger that was here was a parks guy, didn't get along with the Border Patrol during the 80s and 90s. So then they got a new guy who is a law enforcement guy, and he kind of coordinated better the Border Patrol situation. And they were out there last night, because I was sitting in the driver's seat of my truck with my binoculars watching these guys way out there. And you can see Mexico from here, because there's a little town. All the grocery stores and stuff are over across the border. And so you can just sit here and you can see the lights way over there, just about 4 miles away. Whoop! Whoopsie, whoopsie. And it's a very cool place to be, very quiet, as you can tell. Not much going on here. Great place for kids and campers and people coming here to enjoy it. I want to come back in the summer. As with almost the entire trip so far, almost every place I've been, I've wanted to come back in the summer, because Florida, the Gulf Coast, if you're looking for pure tropical heat, it's nice, but it's not warm enough in the winter for somebody from Minnesota. And I left Minnesota before it got hot, cold rather. And so, but when you live in the north for most of your life, that cold just it seeps into your bones after a while. And, you know, 60, 70 degrees is nice, but it's not warm enough. So I'm looking for real heat. And of course that'll come as time goes on and we go forward in the trip. I can't believe it's New Year's Eve, and I can't believe that I found a way to escape the mundane day-to-day life of living in a neighborhood with some other people in a bunch of houses and taking your car in to get it serviced and being with people. And this is not a value judgment so much as a value judgment about my life. Being with people that work for the state and work for, Target and work for Ecolab and work for the big companies in town and grow up there and marry their high school sweetheart and have a place up at the lake. They go in the weekends, or maybe once a year they go all the way up to Ely in their RV, and then they retire and they go up to the north part of the state, and that's it. I find that absolutely stultifying. And I find this to be just a great adventure. So I've been here for 5 days, and this is the fifth day, and I'm just ready to go again. I mean, slept probably 10 hours last night. Fantastic. But it doesn't take very long for me to just want to get going again. I think that's kind of interesting. So that's kind of where I'm at on New Year's Eve. I'm very relaxed. I'm very happy. I'm doing what I love to do, which is just being able to go and explore. And at some point, being able to go to where the story is. And a lot has happened in 2020. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the second half of this podcast. And I really don't know where I'm going to go. I kind of have some things I want to say. So we'll see what happens. Well, if you listened to the last podcast, you heard me, the one I did with Don Anger. At the very end of the podcast, I talked about finding a dead dog. I'm just going to say it. Found a dead dog, a little dead dog in a box at a little beside the highway rest stop. And it was, you know, kind of a traumatic experience. Obviously, it wasn't a person. You know, obviously, you know, if you're a combat veteran, you know, you've seen stuff like that. But it reminded me how important it is to help these animals before they end up in a box by the side of the road. And this is what Inspire and Flourish does. InspireandFlourish.org is a group that helps the groups that rescue dogs and cats and whatever agencies that do this. You'd be surprised what they need. They need money for dog food. They need money for cages. They need money to be able to transport these animals. There are legal documents, all sorts of things. InspireandFlourish.org helps fund those agencies. So you may know of an agency that takes care of animals, right? But you may not know that they need just as much help as the dogs and cats that they rescue need sometimes. So during this holiday season, I want to remind everybody who cares about animals, especially those animals that become pets and love us unconditionally. Inspire and Flourish uses your contributions, which are tax deductible, by the way, exclusively to help these animals. And the agencies that help these animals depend on InspireandFlourish.org. Send your tax deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting InspireandFlourish.org or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I don't need to tell people from Minnesota that this time of the year, when it's 5-6 degrees, when it's 14 below, whatever, when you're in a snowstorm and you're driving, it's always important to have a full tank of gas. So if you're topping off, if you're looking for a better deal on fuel, don't forget 36 Lynn, the independent refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue South in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in South Minneapolis. So if you're riding through there and you're thinking I'm down a quarter or down a half and I'm heading up to the lake, I should get filled up, get off at Lindale, go to 36th Street, boom, get yourself some gas because they will pass the savings on to you. And they have an awesome store, so you can get stuff for the road trip. Burritos, great coffee, all kinds of energy bars, all locally sourced products. 36 and Lynn, those guys are on it when it comes to the store. And they do great community events when the weather gets nice, right? And when we don't have to socially distance so much. And they're so involved in the community. 36 and Lynn. Check them out online at 36 Lynn. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for them on Instagram at 36 Lynn. They've got merchandise. Love those guys. Anybody you talk to thinks this is a terrible year, and it was a pretty bad year. I went back in preparation for this podcast with the terrible AT&T reception that I have here, and I went back to the first podcast and the last podcast of 2019, first podcast of 2020, which goes back to like 880 something in the podcast. There's almost 1,000 podcasts up. And I forgot that last year, 2019, was my 10th year of podcasting. So this 2020 has been the beginning of the 11th year of, and now the 11th year of podcasting. And the podcasts have completely changed. And here's what I want to say. I touched on this. Some of these podcasts were just really prescient throughout the year. Really hitting on things that were very much yet to be discussed at the time that they were put up. I did devote a fair amount of the year, especially the early part of the year, to political coverage, namely trying to explain the polls and then doing the poll roundups and then finally going down to Iowa for the caucuses, which I really had a great time covering the Democrats. I don't think anybody listened or cared. I don't think it was necessary. it felt like it wasn't necessary and I was doing it. And it was kind of the swan song of even discussing politics. And the reason for that, aside from my own sort of disillusionment with the process, which I don't need to talk about, is we are very much at the end of an epoch and the beginning of another epoch. I feel that very strongly. And so anything that you would discuss that was anchored in this time in such a way that you would produce a yay or nay reaction from the podcaster's perspective is a waste of time, because you're not going to convince anybody of anything, and I don't want to convince anybody of anything. I just want to share my joy being out here, because many of the things that I read about in the news and many of the things my friends back home talk to me about do not touch me. They have very little to do with my life in Mobile Podcast Command, sitting here in this beautiful camp area watching this incredible sunset. And you'd be surprised how little touches a person who is nomadic, in the sense that they're almost constantly moving. I think this is one of the reasons people do it, because you don't ever get bored. You're constantly dealing with problems. And I mean, these aren't earth-shattering problems. Right now I'm having a battery issue. I'm probably going to have to replace two batteries or three. I'm not sure yet. And I'm not even sure if I'm having a battery issue. You're always thinking, do I have to get new tires? Do I have to get new batteries? What's the situation with that? Maybe I should try a different kind of dried food. How do I clean a jet boil? Stuff like that you're dealing with. And the political stuff just doesn't touch you. I don't care. And it isn't that I don't care, because I am passionate still about these things and I still read the news every day. But I find it interesting that it seems very distant to me. And I think that's good. And I think, because I think the, you know, when you're ending an era, you're also beginning an era. And during that sort of cusp period of this, and we are in a change of epoch right now, epoch, however you want to say it. There's a cusp period where you feel that you're starting down a road of something new, and a cusp period when you feel that things are just dying and nothing makes sense and it's breaking down. And the implication is, if you read the news today and if you listen to the commentators, somehow 2021 is going to be this bang up fantastic year, and I hope it is. But for the most part, this struggle between the old and the new will probably continue. Struggle between the old and the new politically, a struggle between the old and the new socially speaking, a struggle between the old and the new technologically speaking, will probably continue. And I don't think, given that kind of a backdrop, that anybody really can get their footing and really get a handle on what's happening. You're kind of basically just pivoting from one thing to another, trying to figure out how to keep things going if you're in a business, trying to keep your job if you're in a job. My sense is that people who actually work in companies, unless those companies really know what they're doing and are doing it, most companies have no idea what they're doing all the way up to the top. And so that sort of dead stick, almost listless action seems to be a part of corporate life in today, and no one cares, because it's just hey, keep the job, because you don't want to have to worry about unemployment and you don't want to have to be forced out onto the road in a 20-year-old ambulance. 21-year-old ambulance now, right? You don't want to have to end up like that, unless you want to. So my sense is that no one's rocking the boat, because why do that? And no one's really making any long-term decisions, because you can't. And no one really, and if you're in the process of trying to make judgments about what's going on, it's very hard, because, you know, it changes day to day, and it's going to continue to change day to day as this cusp period. I'm holding my hands up kind of in reverse deltas and spreading them apart as this cusp period kind of gets processed through and the energy completes its change. One day is going to feel like a new day. The next day is going to feel like an old day, and so on. And you're constantly fighting that up and down, that chop that we're dealing with as we mix and match and struggle with the old versus the new. And I feel for my friends that are stuck in it. I feel for the people who have to make decisions during the midst of this. I feel for people who, and this is very important, who are attached to an idea or a mode or a political party or a way of thinking. Because if you attach yourself and if you attach your ego right now to a way of thinking or to a mode, political party, you know, I'm a this or and you're a that. If you attach yourself and you attach your ego, in other words, if you identify with something that strongly, and that includes, in a sense, religion, you're going to have a hard time. You will struggle. So the great thing, and one of the main objectives in terms of nomading for me, has been, and I was already there anyway, this release. It isn't, or letting go even, to say, not only am I following advice not to be attached, not that I am, because I don't follow advice. I'm saying this is something that I developed internally, and I know it's not something that's original, but somewhere I finally came to this conclusion. Once you release the attachments, and you do, because you have to if you're going to do this. You can't be attached to back home. You can't be attached because it'll just suck you back in. This being nomad and doing this, you literally become more, you become and identify with it. And I have to be careful of this too. Just kind of going and enjoying going and saying, where am I going to go next? What's the next adventure? That type of thing. But I'm not attached to an outcome. And I feel sorry for people who are attached to outcomes either way. And you know what I'm talking about, because you're going to struggle. There's going to be a lot of struggle, and it's going to take a long time to work through all the challenges of this, what is coming, this new era. And I feel that very strongly. And that's what I'm thinking about on New Year's Eve. You know, it's just a day. It's like Christmas. I spent Christmas alone. I wouldn't say that I'm spending New Year's alone. I was in that park in Portal, Arizona, alone for Christmas Day. And I was fine. It didn't bother me at all. And Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas Eve, there was one other guy in the park. After that Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, towards the end of the day, because Christmas Eve they left, and I was completely alone. A little spooky, but I didn't feel lonely. I didn't feel bad because I wasn't with, so, you know, fill in the blank. This one's a little different because there are other people around. So New Year's Eve this year, as the moon comes up, we'll get the fire going. And I'm sure people will be shouting out Happy New Year. There's more of a feeling of conviviality and a kind of a group thing going on here, because everybody's up here for New Year's Eve with their families or with their friends. And that's neat. I'm by myself, and that's okay too. But it's very important, I think, right now. That's the message that I've been thinking about as I do this. And the thing that's great, and I've talked about this a couple times, and I will continue, this is very much an introspective experience, and I needed an introspective experience. I needed to break away from all of the things that we take. It becomes to the point where you take life for granted. I get up in the morning, I do this, then I do this, then I do this, then I do this. I come home, I do this, and do that, and that's what I was doing. And, I mean, I did it for a long time, so it's not like it bothered me. It's just the way you live life. Now, I'm living life more by my wits, because things happen, you have to deal with them, and you're dealing with how do you take a shower when there's no hot water and you can't use the shower? How do you take a shower? Well, I figured it out. Right? That's what you spend your time thinking about. And I like that. That's something, some people would be horrified. To me, that's exciting. Stuff like that. How do you hack this and how do you beat that? And I was never a big life hack type person in the sense that I'm going to figure that out. But I am now. I'm getting that way. So there's a lot of things that I see van life people post and see, the nomad people post on it on social media. And I'm like, why do they think that? And now I'm starting to learn why. But we are in a major change of energy. And you can say it's political, and you can come up with a political definition of the change in energy. Okay. You can say it's religious, and you can come up with a theological explanation for the change in energy. You can say it's astrological, and you can come up with a change. It still has to do with conjunction and the moon, or yada, yada, yada. You can say it's just, it's society, which is also, you discuss the social, political system, the social system, you're going to discuss the political system. And I'm not quite sure what to chalk it up to, but I think we are, we're not even close to finishing the beginning of the change. This is something that's going to take the rest of our lifetimes. So you're lucky if you're 20, and because you will get to see it pretty much through. But this is similar to the advent of the Industrial Revolution. This is similar to the advent of railroads back in the day, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It's similar to the advent of travel across the seas, which they didn't used to do. I mean, did the people who were in the forests, the Druids and the Britons and the Celts have a sense that they were living through epical change? The wise men might have known it, but the average person had to be told that was what was happening so that they could understand the pressures that they might have been under. And that's how I feel about this. This was a year, did some great podcasts. One of still was the one about delirium. The other was how much this whole situation is really a failure of government. And it isn't a question of Republican or Democrat. It's a question of why did the governments fail? What caused this breakdown? And that was one of the great podcasts. And there are lots of others. And I did enjoy, and I think I did great work going down and covering the caucuses. But people were already disengaging. Disengaging because they were already attached to an outcome before the fact. And I talked about that too. You were either pro or anti. And you picked your side depending on whether you were pro or anti. I don't want to live like that. I'm not interested in that. There's no point in having a quote-unquote argument or discussion about policy or a direction in that kind of an environment. It's just not worth it. It's not worth, I wouldn't want to waste the energy. And I find now my listeners are way more interested in the adventure and where I am next and what I'm doing. And is it like a vacation? No. You're working. I'm working today. It's New Year's Eve. I'm working. And I had to think a lot. Yesterday I had conferences and phone calls and I'm still running a business. And those are also challenges. So it's not a vacation. It doesn't feel like a vacation, but it feels great. And it's very hard to explain. As I said, this is something that is very much an individual experience. Some people have a different reaction to it. Some people do different things. Some people talk about it differently. There's as many different ways to do it as there are people doing it. And I'm seeing them. I'm starting to see people. And I'm going to a big RV confab that the ambassador of this park told me about after the first of the year, just outside of Quartz, Arizona, on BLM land. Now, what's BLM land? It's not Black Lives Matter land. It's called Bureau of Land Management. And these are generally free campsites. And this one is going to be home to this sort of informal gathering of RVers and campers and van life people. And apparently it's the biggest one. So I asked if they're still having it, and she said, yeah, they are. It's going to be, they're going to spread people out a little bit more. But yeah, so I'll be heading up there. And then that will be an opportunity to network with those kinds of people. And it should be some fun. We should have some fun and be able to share some experiences and talk to some people up there. So it's a big change for me in the latter part of 2020. Big change for everybody else, because I think everything is changing. The stars are changing. The way people make money is changing. The kinds of businesses are changing. And there are many problems ahead of us that have to be solved. And we are not going to solve them divided. We aren't going to solve problems picking a color, a color coat or a type of hat or a particular political perspective to follow. We're going to have to come up with new ones. And that's going to be a huge challenge for 2021. So those are my thoughts on New Year's Eve. I wouldn't say this is festive, but we know it's going to be a weird New Year's Eve. No people in the streets in New York City. And who knows where it's going to go? That's the thing I think is both fascinating and scary. It could get better. I hope it gets better, because I'm excited about the opportunities if things get better, right, while being on the road. But it might not. So, Happy New Year. And, send me a message and let me know how you're doing. And we'll reconvene after the beginning of the year. This time of the year, I hate to say it, but your brother-in-law, your father-in-law, your cousin, everybody's got an idea for some new invention. Right? And you never know when one of those inventions is going to turn into gold. And I'm going to recommend a manufacturer, because if you invent something, you have to have a manufacturer. And Mark Korn is a inventor's kind of guy, because he is an inventor. He knows what kind of challenges inventors deal with, and they can help you manufacture your product. So here's what you do. Go to depotstar.com. DEPOTSTAR tells you a little bit about the company, American Engineering and Manufacturing and Design. Visit their website again at depotstar.com. What can I say about Cartridge World? They have the easiest tagline in the tagline business. Why pay more to print? So I have my printer with me, and I hate paying for print cartridges at the big box retailers because they charge up the wazoo for those cartridges. When was the last time you heard that? They can save you up to 30% on those cartridges at Cartridge World. They are serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com that says Cartridge World. Well, a little sedate evening, late afternoon podcast live from Arizona, 4 miles from the Mexican border. Literally, I can walk to Mexico from here. I'm not going to. But it's funny, I went on Google and I was looking for grocery stores, because I thought, well, maybe I'll go to the grocery store and get some ice. All the grocery stores are close, but they're all over Mexico. So I don't want to go to Mexico. So I'll just wait till I get ready to leave. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year. Good luck to you in 2021. We'll see what happens. But remember, it's a big, epical change, right? Don't forget that. Thanks for listening to podcast 974, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Happy New Year.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning. Love. All night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get.